Okay, I'm waiting for the kids to go and to close the door. But just one reason, I mean, Steve didn't say it, but I'll say it. One thing to praise God for is the growing youth in our church and the young adults that are stepping up for doing things for the Lord. Right now, Zach and Jason are going upstairs to questions. Youth to discuss tough questions of faith that they wrestle with. And it's something I encourage them to do together and to just bring it before God and just talk about the things they need answers for. And also, the youth event that we had yesterday, that was totally Alex Mitten. He organized, he contacted people, I was just there to walk with him through this, but Alex did a great job. And yes, it's grade 11, but it's such an encouragement for me to see a person who loves God, loves the church, and wants to do something about it. So just want to praise God for that after they left, because otherwise they might get too proud. Anyway, welcome again to Bible Town Park Church. If you don't know me, I'm Adi. I'm the pastor here. So I guess most of you guys know me anyway. I'm the guy with the funny accent. Anyway, we began a series last week that in my mind, I forgot to put that on the screen last time, I called it supernatural. Because when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, actually, we talk about something that's beyond what we can come up with. I mean, we can watch a funny movie and be joyful or glad. We can receive a gift or Christmas and be joyful. Or we can feel peace when, the Leafs win, 4-3. There is stuff in the world that can give us joy and peace. And we can actually love things, But there's something special about the fruit of the Spirit. It's about love when you cannot love by yourself, through yourself. It's about joy when nothing in this world gives you joy. It's about peace, even in the midst of a storm. And that's supernatural. So anyway, we live in a world of superheroes. I grew up in Romania, so for us, superheroes were like the Soviet soldier. That was our superhero. I'm not going to say here so many jokes with how much can the Russian soldier endure. I grew up with those jokes, but we didn't grow up with X-Men or Spider-Man or Superman. It was from the capitalistic world. Anyway, but whether you watch X-Men or Marvel Universe or DC Universes, we know about all these guys. Captain America, Robin and Batman, Superman and Spider-Man, they're all over us, and we love superheroes. We like because we see them and we see something special about them. For the youth and millennials, this is their superheroes. For us, me and Steve, it's Bruce Willis, And if you're for their generation, it's John Wayne. That was the 1950s superheroes, superhero, because just John Wayne, Or if you want, Chuck Norris or the guy who beat Chuck Norris, which is Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee beat Chuck Norris, so beware of Chinese. Okay, joking aside, we began a series last week, and I said it's about supernatural. And it's I call it this way because the Bible teaches me and all of us, that there's something more beyond our own strength and ability, and it's called the Spirit of God. And this Spirit lives with us. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you, lives in me. And this is why this is supernatural. It's beyond what we, me and you can do. It's about what God can do in us and through us. And we talked about last week about abiding in God, about how can we see that fruit being born in us? Because we cannot produce it. I cannot. Sorry. These are things I cannot produce by my own strength, And we find this fruit growing in us when we totally surrender to Him, broken and humbled. When we admit we cannot love as He loved. When we admit we do not have the joy that He had in the midst of trials. When we admit there's no peace in us without Christ. And broken and humbled, we come to Him. And we seek Him and we thirst after Him. Every single day we pray that He would fill us. Not just once a week, not just once a year. Every single day we need Him. And we ask I know we ask Him to be with us, and we just choose to abide in Him. It's a choice to abide in Him and to know His will and to believe His will and to believe His word and to obey His word. You know, like Paul said, when we make, actually that's Peter, sorry, we make every effort to pursue Him. That's 1 Peter, 2 Peter, first chapter. We make every effort to pursue Him. That's when the fruit becomes visible in us. And we're talking about these things that we have spoken so much. You know, we had Valentine's Day, and we spoke about love, you know, a whole sermon. So I won't be that long about this. But it's so much there for us. And let's start by praying that God will anoint our hearts as we listen to these words. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning, truly humbled, knowing that there is nothing in us that is of any value to You, Lord. But we have You, and Your Spirit dwells in us, and we have Your Son with us. So I know that as we abide in Him, we can see much fruit in and through our lives. So I pray that these words this morning, although they're very known words, I pray that they'll be fresh for us, and there'll be a fresh desire to pursue You, Lord, and to seek Your peace, and to seek Your joy, and to seek Your love to be manifested in and through us. So I pray that You speak to me, Lord, and You speak to all of us this morning. Amen. I may not speak very loud. I'm not very Pentecostal this morning. I'm battling my first flu of the season, so I'm late. So, Dave, thank you. Just kidding. I have no idea. I'm just kidding. That was a joke, okay? So I'm not going to be very strong, but I'm praying that the Spirit will be stronger when I'm weak. So, supernatural love. I bring this up not because it's first in that line of nine fruits of the Spirit, but nine types of fruit of the Spirit, but because we all struggle with love. We love to love those who love us. Many words. We love to love those who love us, you know, but it's hard to love those who hate us. You know, it says in Matthew 5 that even the pagans, they love those who love them. It's easy. Christians should be different, and we struggle to love those that do not love us. You know, think about the North American environment with all this anti-Christian attitude and all the people on the TV or whatever that just speak against Christianity, against Christ, and mock Christianity. They, you know, there was a thing on TV in the States, they mocked prayer, and they said it's like mental illness when you hear from God, that's disease. And it's hard to love those people. And that's why the Bible calls this love as a fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural, you know. We remember the definition we gave a couple of weeks ago? It's a selfless concern for the welfare of others. When you think of them more than you think of yourself. You know, it's love, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Love your God with all your soul, heart, power, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, you know. Actually, it's love them even more than you love yourself. Or actually, it's the same love, but basically you put yourself on a second position. You know, I was happy. I was praying last night, you know. I was happy I got the slowest cart. You know why? Because all the kids got better cars than me, and they got to enjoy it. You know, I don't mind if I had I did mind. But anyway, on the grand scheme of things, I was happy I got the pig. I got a slow card because everybody else got to enjoy passing me by, and that was fine, you know. It was humbling, but I'm okay with it, you know. A selfless concern for the welfare of others. Let's read the passage again from 1 Corinthians. Just to remind ourselves, it's very known, but it's always good to have it fresh in our minds. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, if you think of agape love, you know, divine love, love for God and neighbor, is something above and beyond you. You're both right, and you're both wrong. at the same time. You're right, because human love can only go so far. You're right when you say, I cannot love like this. Yes, you are correct, because we can only love limited as human beings. But you're wrong, and I'm wrong if I say this, because, you know, there's something more than what we are. God lives in us through His Spirit. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So in a way, I can say, you ain't got no excuse to say, I cannot love this person or that person, because God's love has been poured into your hearts, into my heart, to the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And this is why it is a supernatural love. Think about those you kind of, I mean, you won't say this because you're Christian, but think about those you kind of hate in your heart, you know, those you don't like, whether it's a sports team or, you know, a nation or a person or a politician or a neighbor, I mean, actual neighbor. You know, the kind of, you know, they blow leaves at 6:30 in the morning, you know, on Saturday morning, they just bring the leaf blower and just... Think about that and ask God to fill your heart with love. Think about your family member that annoys you the most and ask God to bless him, that person. I kind of like the New King James Version of the Matthew 5:44 and 45 when it says that we should love our enemies. It says there, not just love them, but bless, love them, bless them, do good unto them, and pray for them. You know, NIV kind of took that out, but I grew up with New King, I mean, actually with different Bible, but kind of like New King James, and it was four things: love them, bless them, pray for them, and do good unto them. You know, it's practical. I think King James also might be that way. David's looking, checking me out. But that's practical love from above. When you not just say the words, oh, Mike, I love you, but you, in your mind, in your heart, you bless Mike, even though he might have hurt you. You pray for Mike, and you do good to him. Maybe taking off the NIV and ESV and whatever, but man, that's such a great way to live your life when somebody hates you, when someone is your enemy. And you know what? That does require supernatural love. It's impossible through your own love. But that's the distinctive sign of a Christian. To have a love in his or her life that goes beyond what everybody else has. How can you be different if you hate like everybody else? But if you love like no one else, you will stand out. You will shine like stars in heaven. I know it's hard, because it has to be hard if it's in your own strength. But if you abide in Christ, He will bring the fruit in you, including, or even starting with love. Okay, it's tough. We struggle with that, but pray. And pray with me right now. For love to be abundant in you because of His Spirit. Boy, it's such a great prayer to have every single day. Next one. Supernatural joy. We're not talking here about that smile you have pasted on your face and you smile every, you know, you can have joy even in the midst of tears. And, you know, we all struggle with joy sometimes. You know, our team loses this game, or Patrick Chan, I have no idea who that is, or whatever. Sorry, I do not watch Olympics, I don't have cable, so whatever. I watched a game of soccer on the internet last week. And my team led 2-0 until 87th minute, and they got the other team scored twice in the last 3 minutes. You know, I was so joyful in the first 87 minutes. I was, man, yes, we're beating them. Oh gosh, it was so awesome. And then it's like, ugh, rain on my parade. You know what? That is temporary, wasting, going away joy that everybody has available. You know, joy of the things, joy of the stuff. It comes and goes. Comes and goes, comes and goes. We all have that. But there's something beyond that, that despite your circumstances, you still remain joyful. I like this verse, John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, and that's the promise, in the world you will have tribulations. It is a promise. We don't claim that promise. We don't name it and claim it. We just leave it there, but it's in the Bible. In the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. That's also in New King James. I like this one. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The joy we have does not come because it is everything is fine in our lives. You know, our finances are good, our friends are great, you know, food is on the table, and, you know, there's sun and warm outside, you know, every day is 20 Celsius. No. There's a joy that comes and goes beyond this, you know, and it's a joy that's very special. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Where does this joy come from? Just read what's on the screen or open your Bibles. John 15. My joy may be in you. Whose joy? It says there, whose joy? God's joy is in us. That's the source of our joy that goes beyond these circumstances. You know, it's, you know, think of Paul, Apostle Paul. You know, he rejoiced with the Thessalonians when things were going great in their lives. You know, the church was doing okay. Their faith was growing. Paul was rejoicing with them. Also things, you know, like Jesus says, every pagan can do that. They can rejoice when things go well. But think of Paul. In the midst of his suffering, and he was beaten, arrested, put in jail, or whatever, he still rejoiced. Acts 16:25. He was just arrested and thrown in jail. And he was not, you know, it was not like a Canadian jail, you're nice and comfy. It was Roman dark dungeon. And midnight comes. It's dark and it's cold, and they're in jail, in chains. And what does Paul do with Silas? It says there, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They were praying and singing songs to God, and that is amazing, because what do we do when things go wrong? Usually, we just love to complain, you know, to just call someone and say, oh man, did you... What was Paul doing? In the midst of tribulation, he was singing and praying to God, and everybody else was watching. As they watch me and as they watch you. When you go through tough stuff, people are watching you and saying, how will that Christian react? And sometimes people don't follow Christ because they see in us the same reaction they have and they think, why should I go that route? You know, he's just like me. But when they see something else, that joy that goes beyond your current situation, they just say, I want that. We make them jealous when the joy of Christ is in us and is abundant in us. The world is jealous. You know, rejoicing when everything goes well, that's great. But rejoicing in the midst of suffering, that's amazing. And it's not because of the sufferings. Is that there? Oh, it's on the screen. It's not because of the suffering. We don't rejoice that we're suffering. I'm not glad that things go wrong in my life. No. It's rejoicing in the midst of those trials that makes us different. We're not, you know, crazy to rejoice that things are wrong or somebody's sick or... No. But in the midst of the problems, because Christ is all and all and all to us, we know that everything, even if everything goes wrong in this world, we can still rejoice in Christ. I was chatting with someone about a Romanian pastor named Richard Wurmbrand. Lived back in the 20th century. No idea actually when he died, but he was arrested by the communists and did, like, I think, 14 years in communist jails. In one of his books, actually writes, what's a book? Or maybe he spoke about this one. I saw him a couple of times. But anyway, he said he was in jail, and he tried to not forget the Bible. So he would recite in his mind, or even out loud, verses after verse after verses to just refresh his memory. So he was in Luke, and he was reading, I think, this... He was not reading. He was quoting from memory this passage. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. So as he thought about these verses, I keep saying read, but he didn't read. He said, I'm not doing this. My heart is joyful, but I'm not leaping. So he stood up in his cell and began to praise God and to leap out for joy in his cell, you know, and the guard thought he went nuts. So he went and brought food and gave him extra food that day because he leaped for joy. And he said, praise be to God. He provided when he leapt for joy despite the trials. And it was just amazing. Anyway, it's a long time ago when I actually saw this, this brother. Joy comes when you're part of the kingdom. It's up on the screen up there, up in the LED board. You know, it says in, I should switch my things. Romans 14:27, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I mean, who knows Ron Canole back in the 90s? Am I the only one who has that melody in my mind? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. No? Am I the only one? Man. It was big in Romania when I was in just becoming a Christian. So, you know, worship, contemporary worship was something so new for us, you know, coming from hymns and only hymns. So we got this tape from somewhere with Ron Canole. It's a worship concert. And this song was big on that tape. Just Google and YouTube it and you'll find it. It's on YouTube. Anyway, because you're part of the kingdom, the joy is available so abundant for you. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Anyway, more modern. You know, even trials make us rejoice. I quote this before, but Romans 5:3 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and so on. Paul continues. John Piper calls this the sanctifying effects of tribulations. When you go through tribulations and you learn to rejoice, and that brings you towards God. You know, it says, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. We don't rejoice that we suffer. We rejoice because we know that through that suffering, we will grow in Christ. We hate it in that moment, to be honest. But then we look behind and we think, and we see how much we grew in that time. Personal testimony, I guess. Now, my wife prayed for me that I would become, let me see if she'll nod if I'm correct, the most gentle person on the earth. She nodded. Okay, I know that. And I was far from. You know, I was not a bad guy, but I was not gentle because I didn't have to. I was in Romania. Romanians are not, you know, very gentle by nature, so who cares? I worked with soldiers, you know, for 7 years, so in that environment, who cares if you're gentle? I mean, you're a soldier. And then I came here, out of my element, out of my, you know, I thought that everything I knew back home would translate here. All my successes back home would translate here. You know, how many years? 16 years with Open Heaven of great, great work of God will just become another step of glory with Christ here. And it was not. In Canada, I learned how to cry like I never did before. I did cry before coming here, don't worry. But here, I learned to drive and cry at the same time, you know, to not go home and not, or just go around, spin around Newmarket because I couldn't go home and see my, you know, have my wife see me crying. I couldn't go to church and have people see me crying. So I drove and cried because I was broken. My heart was broken. I didn't know what lay the future. Future was just a black wall and I didn't know what's going on. And it was crazy. But now, being here for, what, 7 months now? 7 months yesterday. I know that all those trials prepared me to be an okay pastor here, a good enough pastor. I mean, just to love you guys and to be broken enough to just pour my heart before you and just love God more and trust God more and not trust myself at all. That was the problem. I came here trusting my own strength to achieve, to do ministry, to be a good pastor, and I failed. I learned to trust God, and it hurt like crazy. To be broken is not easy, but it was worth it. Looking back, I can say it was worth it. You know, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Supernatural joy comes because of God through His Spirit as you obey Him. It's not just about being smiling all day long, but it's about trusting God, rejoicing, knowing that He is your everything. May this define us. Sorry. May this joy define us in good days and in days of trial. And may your heart sing like the old hymn, "It is well with my soul." It's amazing. Most of you probably know that hymn. That's the song of my heart. "It is well with my soul." Next one. And last one. Bailey, I'll be finishing early today. That's crazy. Sorry. Did anyone play with my notes? Yeah. Peace. Supernatural peace. Again, we all struggle with this one too. We struggle with loving, with that joy thing, but with peace also. I mean, what is peace? When you can actually stand before God or stand before people and just take wave after wave after wave and still be able to nod and smile and say, "I trust God." You know, it's something that goes beyond that we can achieve in us. And, you know, I'm quoting James McDonald, the pastor from the States. He said there are game changers, verses that are game changers. You read them and everything is different. You know, he's into football, American football, and he likes those game-changing passes when, you know, you're down behind 5 points and somebody throws a pass and I have no idea, 5 points, too big or too low, some points. And the game just changed. Like, what, was Patriots last year? Not this year. Last year, when they came back and won that game. You know, there's one verse about peace, and you have it on the screen, actually, Philippians 4. And although you know it, I pray this will be fresh in your minds again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, just pay attention, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, whose peace is it? What is the source of that peace? Is it circumstances? Is it success? Is it going through and finishing with a trial? No. It is the peace of God. Just like the joy of Christ, it is the peace of God that comes upon you. When you pray to God, when he says here, what? You rejoice, first of all. We dealt with that previously. But it says, do not be anxious, but pray, petition, give thanks to God. Present your requests to God by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. You know, you just give God the burden. That's the way to achieve peace. You just give God the burden. And he is able, more than able, to carry that because he loves you. Remember Matthew, I don't have that verse on the screen, Matthew 11:29 and on, you know, it says, come unto me, all ye heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, and continues, you know. That's the kind of stuff that happens in your life when you come to Christ broken and filled with your problems and your worries and whatever, and say, Lord, take it all. And the peace of God that transcends, that surpasses, that goes beyond all understanding will guard your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's just not easy, but it's there. It is available for us. What's next? Oh, yeah. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's a promise. Guys, that is a promise you can claim. The Lord, you said, you will give me your peace. Not just any peace, but your peace. I do not give it to you as the world gives. It's not a world peace. You know, I'm not at war with someone. No, it's way beyond that. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, because my peace I give to you. Keep this promise in your mind. When things are shaking in your life, when things are going wrong, people are sick and you love, or you know, you lose your job, or many things can happen. Pray for God's peace and claim that promise. Go and say, Lord, you said you will give me this peace. I need it so much. It's like God puts a comforting hand on your shoulder and says, don't worry, I got this. Ever had that feeling when you go through a difficult project at work or at home and you know, somebody comes along and said, hey, don't worry, I got this. And they come and do it for you or with you. Or I love that feeling. When you're stuck and you don't know what to do next and someone comes and says, hey, chill, don't worry, I got this. That's God saying, my peace I give to you. Don't worry, God has this. Let's make this personal. You know, we love as Christians to discuss ideas and to think about thoughts and to put words on the screen and to recite verses. But when the rubber meets the road, when we actually go out there, when it's not easy, it's so easy to love when you're in the church. Well, most times. In our church, put it this way. In our church, it's so easy to love and be loved because, you know, it's great. Everybody is trying to do their best to be lovable and to serve, and it's awesome. Not out there. When people are selfish and mean and the sin rules, it's not that easy. Or joy. It's easy to have joy when everybody comes together and prays for the joy and strives to get that joy, but go out there. Try to drive 401 going westward, eastward, the same thing at 5 o'clock p.m. That'll teach you some joy or peace. Anyway, that was a joke-ish. Supernatural. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in where? In you. Who's that you? Point to that you. Point. He's like, you know, in me, in us. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That is a fact. That is truth. You may not feel different. You may not know. I mean, you cannot like touch it. But it's the truth of God in the scriptures. The Bible says God has his Spirit dwelling in you, and that is truth. Don't trust your feelings. Trust God's word. You know, Billy Graham just passed away. He taught me something. Always start with this. The Bible says, and then tell the truth. The Bible says God's Spirit is in you. So his peace, his joy, his love are not just a myth, are not just something that only the saints, the very, very saints of God can achieve. No, it's available for all of us and any of us as we abide in him, because it's not our fruit, it's not my fruit, it's God's fruit in us. And a supernatural fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, and we'll see the rest next weeks. These will make you shine like the stars in heaven. In this world, where there's so much darkness and envy and jealousy and strife, you will be different. Some will hate you for that. Some will see your love. Some will see your peace. Some will see your joy, and they will hate you for that. You know what? They hated Jesus, so you're in good company. But we cannot attract anyone. We cannot inspire anyone with our lives unless there is something more, something supernatural in us that makes us different than the rest. I still remember my first evangelism that I witnessed. I was not a Christian back in 1990 or 91. I don't know exactly. I was in college first year, and I was just roaming the city, Bucharest, one day, and I stumbled upon this place in just downtown in front of the university, and there was music, strange music in the streets. You know, nothing that I've seen before. Actually, nothing I've seen before. So I stop and look, and there is this maybe 5, 6, 7 probably Americans, I'm not sure, but looked like Americans to me, you know, shorts and t-shirts and hats and whatever, and they were singing about I got joy like a river. If I sing, I remember it, you know, and their faces just shone. They were like so happy and just singing their hearts out in I think it was English, but they were together with a group of Romanian youth dressed in dark black, long skirts, scarves, you know, dark suits and, you know, ties and everything, you know. They were like this. Sorry. I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just saying what it was. Just like, I got joy like a river, I got joy like a river. Oh, boy. I just turned and left right away. It was nothing attractive to me. It was the first evangelism I've witnessed on the streets of Bucharest, and I turned and left. Because they sang one thing and their face spoke something else. you know, 2 years down the road. One morning, a neighbor gets me. Actually, we meet and we go, and we, she said, let's go play ball, play basketball. Not ball, but play basketball. So I said, okay, I don't care. So I went. I see this group of like 16, I don't know, 15, 16, 20 people. I don't remember exactly the number of youth between ages of, let's say, 14 and 25, playing basketball, ping pong, and volleyball. Nothing unusual until I actually got to watch them. And I was shocked. There was something about them. They had a joy that I've never witnessed before. They argued, but in such a way that it was just... they argued, but they didn't hate each other. They were just argumenting, and they were loving afterwards. Like, it's crazy. I mean, there was something about them that made them different to me and made me jealous. And I stuck around that group. One, because I liked that part of the group. But there was something about them that was different. They made me jealous. Because they had peace I never had. They had purpose I had never had. They had a joy I've never seen before. I stuck around long enough to see and to learn. It was Jesus in them that gave them that difference. You know? That can be your story too. That's my story. But that can be your story too. When you go out there in the midst of trials and problems and things, you still have peace and you still have joy and you still love those who hate you and you do something about it. You pray and you bless and you do good unto them, to those that hate you. You know, that can be your story too. When people can see you and say, there's something wrong with you, in a good way. Something different about them, and I want that. Because you know what? The world out there, as much as we do, they also thirst for love. They thirst for peace. And they crave for true joy. And they don't get it. I mean, actually, they don't get those things. You know, they just don't. Because they don't have to. They don't have where from. But we can be that. We can point them to Jesus. By faith, we can say, the Christ in me is the source of my joy. The God in me is the source of my peace. Go and meet that God. Go and meet my God. Go, actually, come and meet my God. That can be your story. You can go out there and you can change something. You know, like the superheroes in the beginning, you can save the world one soul at a time when the Spirit works in you by giving you His fruit in abundance. You can save one soul. Sorry, you can save the world one soul at a time. Sorry. I should read my notes, actually. You can change the world one soul at a time when by faith you point them to Jesus, when you say, He gave me peace. And they see the peace in you. He gave me joy. And they see your joy and say, He gave me love. And they know your love by the way you live with them. That's my prayer. It's not just a plain listing of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and just say love, peace, joy, and the whole nine. No. It's about supernatural. And it's about changing the world. We're actually letting Christ change the world one soul at a time. That ought to be, can be, will be your story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning's words. So much scripture that just is there for us to claim as a promise. Not to wrongly misquote, but just to go and say, Lord, you said that your peace is available and your joy is there for me, Lord. We come before you this morning, Lord, to just say that we don't have them, at least not in abundance, not in a way that changes those that see us. That I can, like in Matthew, people that see us will just say, praise God. Father, we come before and just beg you this morning to fill us, Lord, as we seek you, as we thirst after you, as we abide in you, as we open the word of God and we pray to you, Lord, that those words would be alive in our hearts. I pray that your fruit will be abundant in us, Lord. Your love will allow us to just love everyone and anyone in this world, and your joy allow us to just go through any circumstances knowing that you are with us. And your peace will transcend any understanding, will just guard our hearts and minds in times of testing. I pray, Lord, that as we are filled with your fruit, that will not just bless us, that will not just bless the church, but we will become a blessing to the world by pointing to you. These things that we have in abundance from you will make them jealous, Lord. And I pray that people that know us will desire to know you. People that see that in us will desire to just come before you and say, Lord, I need that also. May our lives be a light in this dark world that would point not to us, not to a church, but to the only living God. Lord, may our every single day point to Christ. Amen.